Live from somewhere deep below the earth, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. To reach George from west of the Rockies, dial 800-618-8255. From east of the Rockies, dial 800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach George by dialing area code 818-501-4721. International callers may reach George by dialing your in-country Sprint access number and pressing option 5. Then dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie on Premier Radio Networks.
And our guest tonight, David Wolfe, Naked Chocolate, that's one of his books, and Eating for Beauty. And we'll take your calls in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, David, I can't let this night get by without talking to you about the Mad Mad House Sci-Fi Channel's reality television show. You did what, 10 episodes?
Yeah, that was kind of a wild thing. They were gonna go without the Nature Boy. They were trying to look for a Nature Boy, and then I kind of found them in some listing they had in L.A. that had expired but was still there. And I called the producer, and we just connected, and I was like, hey, I'm a nudist, raw foodist, Buddhist. And they just went for it.
What was the name that you used? Were you Avocado?
I'm Avocado. Yeah, that's my nickname. It's a name I've been going by for 10 years. No one ever calls me David Wolfe. They call me Avocado Cacao. That's my first and last name. So it's like my superhero name. But anyway, so I went by. When they started filming the show, they would call me David, and I was like, "Look, we're living there." And I was like, "You can't call me David. I don't go by the name. I go by Avocado." And they're like, "Okay, we're changing the whole thing. It's Avocado now." And we went with it. And what an incredible time we had!
I was going to say, what were the numbers? Numbers weren't too bad. The ratings?
Yeah, it made it. God, it made it in the top 30 shows on television, of all shows, and over 2 million viewers per week. And it reached out there. They want, like, I was like, look, I'm going to go berserk on raw food here. It's going to be out of control. And they wanted that. And so I thought, cool, okay, perfect. And so I made people, like, every kind of raw food dish. I made them crazy cacao chocolate drinks every day. And they ate it up. It was cool. And then what we did each week was eliminate the person out of the house we didn't want there, because we were landlords of this house. It was myself. There was a voodoo priestess, a witch, a modern primitive, and a vampire. And we were landlords of this mansion. And then each week, there was 10 people, normal people from the world, and then we were living with them, and if we didn't like someone, we'd just eliminate them at the end of the week. And, God, when it came down to the last two girls, it was so difficult to make that decision. Oh, one of the toughest decisions of my life.
Do you think they stayed with some of these diets that they may have been using while they were in the house?
Oh, definitely, because they've been in touch with me afterwards. Fiona the witch became a raw foodist after having spent a month with me there, and she's still greatly into it.
She was on a program once, by the way. That's Fiona Horn, right?
Yeah, Fiona Horn. She's been on the program.
She's been on the program. She fell asleep at the end of the interview. I kid you not, right in the middle of it.
Fiona.
She just, after the third hour, she just like dozed off.
That's
went, hello?
Hilarious.
You could hear her breathing into the phone. Hello? you ready for some calls?
Yeah.
Let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to Coast. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi. Yeah. This is Christina. I'm calling from KKOB land, Richard Hogan land, Albuquerque.
Albuquerque. Go ahead, Christina.
Hey, George, thank you for having David on. He's a real kick.
Okay.
And David, you have a lot of energy.
Thank you, Christina.
And it's contagious. Anyway, I was wondering if you knew anything about Joubert syndrome.
Joubert syndrome, G-E-B-E-R-T-S.
Right, it's spelled like Gilbert, yeah.
Yeah, got you. Oh, it's Gilbert syndrome. I don't, actually. It's been a while since I've looked into that. I've come across it before. It's been about 5 or 6 years since I've researched it.
Well, basically, things like bilirubin that are normally metabolized in the liver are metabolized in the intestines. So I was wondering if that would change any, thing to do with the kind of diet.
Okay, that's a high bilirubin count. I've come across
that. No, it's like your liver doesn't metabolize it. Your intestines do.
Yeah, you know what? Let's talk about this, about approaching a thing like this. Well, how do you approach, somebody has a problem with, say, the liver. In this case, it's the liver. First thing we look at is what minerals are associated with the liver, and it's two minerals, actually three. One is iron, the other is sulfur, and the third one is zinc. So we start looking at foods that contain these things. Best source of iron, of course, is coming out of the plant world, is spinach and dark green leafy vegetables, and also dark red cherries are really good sources of iron. And these are good liver cleansing foods. So that's a way, that's an approach, you know, a strategy. Another thing is sulfur. Where do you find sulfur? Well, you can find it in hemp seeds, spirulina, any uncooked meat, of course, has it. Raw eggs have it. I'll tell you, a great source of it, though, is MSM, this product that's out there. Powdered MSM is an incredible product, methyl sulfonyl methane. It's one of the greatest discoveries of the 20th century in the whole field of nutrition, and a good liver support substance. And then where do you get zinc from? Zinc should be present in our vegetables. It's not, because our soils are depleted. Good to take liquid zinc, supplemental liquid zinc, if you can find that. Or you start eating seeds. Pumpkin seeds and poppy seeds are really high sources of zinc.
You said your parents were both in the medical field. How have they felt about you, David, being on basically the alternative side?
Yeah, it's funny how things are. I mean, when I grew up, I didn't want to have anything to do with medicine. I didn't want to have anything to do with food. My mom's from Tehran. She's Persian.
Yeah.
And she's an incredible Persian chef. I mean, off the hook, amazing. But when I was a kid, I was like, I don't want to be in the kitchen for 3 days. I want to be outside playing and having a good time. But, you know, it's funny how the universe brings you right back. So now what I'm into is healing people with food. That's kind of where we're at. So I kind of was led into it in a roundabout way. They were kind of course, resistant to it. They thought I was crazy. You know, when I told them I was eating wheatgrass, they thought, you're out of your mind. But when I told them I was eating the neighbor's weeds, that they kind of wrote me out of the will at that point.
That was, we've lost him.
We've lost you completely. But what's funny is over the years, right, now I see what's in the kitchen and I see what's in the fridge, and it's coming through by osmosis.
Now you're all grazing on the neighbor's weeds, huh?
Yeah. Well, the family hasn't made it out there yet, but I'm kind of sneaking it into their salads.
East of the Rockies, welcome to Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Good evening, Mr. Norrie.
Yes, sir.
Before my question, I'd like to answer one thing for you that I did find out, because I've been trying this for a while, is if you want to keep from going cold turkey on your meat, is weigh it by 6 ounces and drop it back an ounce every so often, and you'll find out you won't go cold turkey.
Yeah, okay, good point.
We call it cold cucumber.
Sir?
We call it cold cucumber, but that's just...
Okay. We're down here in the middle of Georgia. Everybody around us has a lot of berry farms. We keep giving them away, like blackberries, blueberries, strawberries. I like some of your, what do you know about things you can do with them, you know, that are really good for you?
Well,
raspberries, we have a whole bunch.
Raspberry is probably, you know, right up there with cacao or chocolate as being, you know, the favorite kind of love aphrodisiac food. And so raspberry with the chocolate is a pretty darn good combo. Outrageous combo. Why? It's hormonal. The raspberry is known in herbology as being a hormonal food, especially as influencing of women's cycles, and is often used, the raspberry tea is often used to influence the cycle or even to influence birth. The best thing about berries is that the berries are one of the best foods that go across the board as working for the most people. You know, some people don't like bananas, some people don't like apples, some people don't like mangoes, or, you know, whatever. But berries seem to work for the widest variety of people. It seems to be the best food for people to start with. Blueberries, raspberries, blackberries, those three are probably the top foods in the world in terms of edibility, nutrition. They're super high in vitamin C. You can throw them into smoothies. You can dry them. If you have a big harvest, you dry them. You can make a tea out of them for the winter time. If you dry them and just smell them in the wintertime, if you put them in a container, oh, it's outrageous. Raspberries, outrageous. It's an aphrodisiac just smelling it.
You know, David, during World War II, pilots would eat bilberry jam to help their night vision.
I'd heard that, and let me tell you, years ago I was at this festival, and I ate 5 pounds of blueberries in a day. Well, bilberries, that's the British name for a blueberry. And I thought, well, you know, maybe I'd never had felt any eyesight improvement, nothing. But that night, I ate 5 pounds of blueberries that day. That night, there was one, you know how there's always the guy that you're out with who just doesn't ever show up at the right time?
Right.
He's not there. So I'm like, oh, God, it's 11 o'clock. We want to get out of here. And I look across this entire festival, literally hundreds of people, and I see him standing in line about 200 yards away. And then I made the connection. Like, whoa, wait a second. I can see him because of the berries I've been eating.
It's like night vision.
I'm going to have to say that's true.
Yep. Let's go to our first-time caller line. You're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello?
Yeah, you're on.
Hi. Oh, hi. Hi, Avocado.
How
this is Lori, and I'm calling from Fort Lauderdale, and I have your book. I read it, and I'm so happy what you're doing. It's fabulous. But I just want to play devil's advocate for a second, and I want to ask you how you feel about there are some critics out there who feel that some nutrients are only fully released in cooking, including lycopene in tomatoes and beta-carotene in carrots.
Okay. Well, this is interesting because this is a funny discovery about lycopene in tomatoes, because you hear that you get five times more lycopene, and it's a good question, actually. You get five times more lycopene if you cook tomatoes than if you eat them raw. But in Dr. Atkins' New Diet Revolution, which isn't exactly the diet I recommend, but in there he says you also get five times the amount of lycopene in the tomato if you blend it. So, see, that's the power of what we got. We got a technology. We can either broil stuff or steam it, but we can also blend it. So blending is a way of liberating nutrients, making things more available, breaking down fiber. That's kind of what we're trying to do. Break down fiber without losing the water quality that's in the food, if you follow what I'm saying there.
Right. Okay. So you're saying that blending is basically doing the same thing.
Right, exactly. But okay. It's doing it in a way that where the technology is a little superior, because see, when you heat any vegetable or anything that with the water in it, the water heats up and explodes and actually destroys the fiber, breaks the fiber down. Now that liberates some nutrients, but it causes entropy to occur. So it causes more disorganization in the food, whereas a blender is doing it in a way where it's stripping down the fiber. You're not getting that heated entropy, which is also losing enzymes and the water quality, essentially.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks for your call. Appreciate you being on the program. Next up, let's go to our international line. Where are you calling from?
Toronto, Canada. My name is Alex.
Hello, Alex. Go ahead.
Okay, just a couple real quick. Stevia, it's a sweetener that comes from a plant. What do you think about that instead of honey?
I think a stevia is a really important replacement for real sugars. Obviously, if somebody has a candida problem or cancer or anything that's a sugar sensitivity, fungal problems, they should go to a form of sugar that doesn't influence that. Stevia is kind of a false sugar. The one thing about stevia is if you use it over a long period of time, it has a bitter back end, and it can start driving you crazy. There's another sweetener out there that I'll turn you on to. It's called Yacon root syrup. That's Y-A-C-O-N root syrup. And that's a great alternative not only to stevia but to other sweeteners as well for people who are really immune system compromised.
And also, what about this theory of eating? There's several books written on this. They call it eating right for your blood type. Like you eat a certain diet based on, say, if you're O, or whatever blood type that you are. Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah, and blood type does affect your diet choices. It affects what foods digest well for you. And it really is a big part of allergies in food. The one thing I disagree with in that big book that's out there about this is that it's kind of erroneous information. There was a study that was done by a Japanese group. I think they studied 5,000 people over, I think it was about 10 years. I read a book on this. And their conclusions about blood type, the book was called The Answer is in Your Blood Type. It's not the other book. And that has more accurate information about blood type. But the thing about blood type that I've known since I was a kid, because I had both parents who were physicians, is there are not four blood types. There are at least 10 blood types and maybe as many as 13 different blood types, because like O negative and O positive are very different from each other. A negative and A positive are different from each other, right? And then there's blood type R. I had an aunt who has blood type R, and she had a, like R negative, very, very unique, rare blood type. And so that's why it was a family issue when I was a kid. And, you know, these things aren't even discussed in these books.
Yeah, no, you're right. That is very rare, by the way. Wildcard line, where are you calling from? You're on Coast to Coast.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, this is Floyd from Kilgore, Texas, but right now I'm down here south of Houston.
Well, welcome to the show, Floyd.
I've got a question about some of these cold processed, I guess they're juiced vegetables and fruits that are come in a capsule. They've been dehydrated. I'm just kind of curious what you had, what kind of opinion you had on something like that.
What do you think of that, dude? A lot of people swear by that.
Yeah, I think I know what's kind of going on behind the scenes with some of those companies, and it's good. I mean, you know what I mean? You're getting those phytonutrients. The dehydration technology today is really great, and it's, you know, it's on the money, especially if it's a reputable company. But what they're kind of doing with some of those vegetable capsules is they're adding a few herbs that are laxatives. And so people are, you know, this is kind of inside information. And so people are actually having bowel movements, and that's causing them to feel better too. So I, you know, that's good too. But that's something that, you know, you don't hear much about. They don't advertise that part of it. So, you know, it's fun.
Okay, thanks, Floyd. Appreciate you being part of the program. One of the few things in Radio Land where you can also talk about your bowel movements and get away with it, Dave.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's go to our West of the Rockies line here on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello?
Yeah, hi. Where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Celinda. I'm calling from Huntington Beach, California. And
Celinda,
I just got to tell you, George, this is a great program, and tonight is one of the best shows you've ever had. My husband and I have been teaching nutrition and talking about raw or live foods and organic. In fact, we started the organic movement in the Safeway markets in Northern California.
Oh, good for you.
And things have changed a lot. You can go to almost any market in California now and find an organic section. It may not be a big one, but, you know, you'll have something. So that's a big change from a few years ago.
That's a positive for a change.
A huge, huge change. And I'll tell you, we came late into this in our lives. My husband is 81, and I'll be 60 in July.
Wow.
And we've been doing this for about 12 years. And for the older listeners on this program, I have to tell you, it's never too late. And we have made major changes in our lives. My husband no longer has cataracts.
Just from eating right?
From changing his diet completely. He went on to glutathione precursors, you know, in the non-denatured way.
Good for him.
And yeah, that's awesome.
Totally changed his life. And he just had a heart surgery a couple of years ago for a mitral...
mitral valve?
No, not a mitral. The other valve. I've gone blank. Anyway, he was born with a defective valve. And we got the report back, the surgical report back, and his doctor put down, this is, he was 79, his doctor put down that he appeared to be 55.
Wow.
I love it.
Yeah, so it's pretty impressive. And I just had one quick question. Are you familiar with a fellow in New York by the name of David Jubb?
I know David Jubb very well.
Oh, we invited David. He had come to our house in Livermore in Northern California numerous times. We did lectures with David up there, and he's been down here in Southern California at my daughter-in-law's, and he is just fabulous, isn't he?
This is a guy, George, who is a breatharian, right? He eats very, very little amount of food, and he's... I mean, I've known David Jubb almost 10 years, and I tell you, that guy brings so much joy. He's just so funny and crazy and you know, fun, and just a cool guy to hang out with.
Isn't he? I'm glad you know him. That's just great. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate you being part of the program. So he hasn't eaten in a long time, or what?
Well, he just kind of nibbles here and there. He doesn't really eat. I mean, he's mastered something about himself. He's got that intangible quality. And you know what's funny is he does a lot of chefing. He's a great chef, but he doesn't eat the food.
That would be pretty tempting, don't you think?
I think it would be. I mean, if I was trying to be a breatharian, I'd steer away, but that's me.
I have fast blasts, which allow people to instantly send me messages, David. And one person said he was on his way to his favorite fast food restaurant when he heard you and made a beeline for an all-night market and picked up sushi and raw fruit instead.
Right on.
Speaking of fruit.
The late-night avocado grabs in those all-night 24-hour stores.
When we come back, I want to ask you about dehydrated fruit, and then we'll take the rest of your phone calls right here on Coast to Coast. Amen. Don't forget, on our next program, it's going to be our Bigfoot roundtable discussion. This is going to be historical. We'll be back in a moment. It echoes in the corners of my
Podcasting, the new way to get Coast to Coast AM to your computer. Available to all StreamLink subscribers at coasttocoastam.com. Somewhere deep below the earth, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. To reach George from west of the Rockies, dial 800-618-8255. From east of the Rockies, dial 800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach George by dialing area code 818-501-4721. International callers may reach George by dialing your in-country Sprint access number and pressing option 5. Then dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie on Premier Radio Networks.
I've got one of these special headsets where my engineers can talk in my ear. And he said, this program's getting me so hungry, I think I'm going to order a pizza. Now, don't they ever learn. We'll be back in a moment. Why is it with people who feel better, David, that there's some kind of a glow with them? I mean, you could just tell. That person looks healthy. He feels good. Why is that?
I think it has to do with this whole aura thing. I mean, I really think auras are real. You know, one of the technologies that was smuggled out from behind the Iron Curtain is this Kirlian photography.
Yes.
Which takes a picture of the whole aura of whatever, an object, a food, a person, that you can see. And when this first came to the West, people were like, whoa, auras are actually real. Now it's kind of old news as curling photography, but if you get on the internet and search this stuff up, it's pretty darn amazing the actual energetic imprint that every food is putting out there. It's outrageous.
Let's go to our wife.
I think it has to do with building up the electromagnetic energy that every living thing runs on.
Well, there's no question it does. And so you're saying the right kinds of food fuel that energy?
Exactly. I have a picture in one of my books of a cooked cabbage versus the cabbage when it was raw, and it's so telling. It's so telling because the raw cabbage has that glow. It's vibrant. It's got the sparkle going on, and the cooked cabbage, I mean, this was like really cooked, like broiled to death. It kind of looks like a subway, like a New York City subway system situation.
You know, I would rather eat raw cabbage than cooked. I would rather eat a raw cauliflower than cooked, because you're right, it does look better.
Yeah, and the smell is pretty atrocious, the cooked stuff.
Why is that?
Well, these foods contain a lot of sulfur, and you know, the salt, when you cook that sulfur out, it has a smell, it's like a dead smell, right? Like an animal when it dies smells like sulfur.
Like an old egg.
Yeah, like a hard-boiled like egg that went off or something. The sour egg smell was voted the second worst smell of all behind a skunk.
Oh gosh. So. I don't want to know about three. Let's go to our wild card line here on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Dave, how you doing?
Awesome.
I'm from Tennessee, by the way. Man, this is great stuff. I mean, you're right on with all this. This, because I know, because I feel it in my heart. It's just everything you say, you know, it's like, this guy's believable. It's great. And I was just enjoying an apple a few minutes ago, and it was wonderful.
Right on.
But anyway, I was just wanting to ask, I'm just kind of evolving into this stage here in the, like, I guess the last year or so about, you know, really wanting to eat right and nutritious and everything. And I guess right now I'm mainly on, like, multivitamins, apples, bananas, and also I usually have oatmeal in the morning. I was wanting to get your comments on oatmeal and see if, you know, if that would be good for me to keep doing that in the mornings or change to something better. And just great job. Just continue what you're doing, because I think that, you know, the public out there, everybody just really needs to hear this kind of stuff.
Indeed, and I'll let you listen on the radio.
There about oatmeal. Let me tell you something I've been doing kind of just on the side, you know, doing lectures and things. And whenever I run into someone who's like 75, 80, 85, 90, who's at my lecture, I'll ask them what they eat or what they've eaten for most of their life. And you know what comes up more than anything else?
What?
Oatmeal.
Really?
It's a longevity food. It's one of the best ones, and it's really different. It's a lot different pharmacologically in its nutrient density than the other grains. It's really high in silica or silicon, which is a youthening and beautifying mineral. It's extraordinarily high in that mineral, and I think that's what gives it its magic. So oats is one of those grains that I kind of really feel like is something that is good to have in your diet if you can get it in there somehow. In terms of, like, him just reviewing his diet, what he was mentioning he was adding in, I really feel like the biggest mistake that people make with their diet is not having enough green leafy vegetables. So that's the one thing I'd add in. You know, make sure you have your lettuce, your parsley, your kale, your bok choy, your celery. This is your spinach. That's really important part of nutrition. That's the alkaline food. You hear this alkaline acid thing thrown around in the nutrition world. The only real alkaline food is vegetables, just so you know, because there's a lot of people try to cheat this.
And so you throw some berries in with the oatmeal? Is that pretty good?
Yeah, that's really good. And I'm just telling you, just from polling people, it comes up a lot, oatmeal does, as a food that people really do well with in the long term.
What do you think of raisins?
Well, I'll tell you a lot about raisins, is that the real raisin is supposed to have a seed in there. And one time I went down to have a Supai Canyon, which is one of the canyons feeds into the Grand Canyon, and you hike 8 miles in, and a horse ate all our food, and we ended up having to live on the wild food down there for a week. And we ended up eating grapes a lot of the time because the grapes were in season. But when I found out then that when the grape dries on the plant, natural with the seed in it, that's a real raisin. And whoa, my God, you know, if people ask me, what do you think is the number one food in the world, I'd put grape seed up there right on the list as one of the high foods on the whole earth.
Yeah, I would too. Wild card line, your turn. You're on with us. Hi there.
Hi, George. Hi, David.
How you doing?
Yeah, this is David in Illinois. I heard some things recently about a Russian herb, Russian rhodiola rosea, I think it is. It's from the Taiga region in Russia. And they say that there's a doctor that did some studies when the Soviet Union was in existence that they used to give this to the Russian athletes. It's a super food for stamina, energy, longevity, depression, that kind of thing. Have you heard anything about that?
I know a lot about rhodiola. It's an incredible herb. It's generally really good for oxygenation. It's really good for high elevation, too, if you're a kind of an extreme hiker, adventurer. For me, it has like a menthol component to it. So for my body type, I don't really do good with it. It's too menthol-y for me. But in terms of what it is, it's awesome. Super powerful herb.
Fantastic. Yeah, I've heard a lot about it recently. There's a Dr. Ramazanov that has come into popularity recently about that. So, yeah, thanks, David. Great
Thank
show.
You.
Okay, thanks. I appreciate it. Fast Blast in from Judy. She's the editor of rawfoodsnewsmagazine.com. She wants to ask you, David, about caffeine and the cacao beans.
Ooh, good question.
Uh-huh.
You there, Judy?
No, this is on my computer.
Oh,
she's just sent us a message.
Okay, that's a really good question. Here's what I found out in the research on chocolate. So I was comparing what was in the cacao bean in terms of caffeine versus what's in chocolate bars, and I found out there's a discrepancy. That cacao, the Biochemist magazine did a study on cacao, found it contained zero caffeine. Other studies have indicated it contains about 1/20 of what's in coffee, but it's mostly in the skin, not actually in the nib or the nut or the bean itself. Which is an insignificant amount, but it does contain theobromine, which is a sister molecule to caffeine that was actually used as the number one heart medicine in America for about 40 years, from about 1890 to about 1930. So it's a heart benefiting chemistry that you find in cacao. It does have some stimulating properties. It is probably the thing about chocolate that gives it kind of, you know, that kind of hooks people. Caffeine, however, is working its way into chocolate bars. I believe what's happening with some of these mainstream chocolate bars is they're adding guarana extract, which is a seed that contains a high amount of caffeine, for reasons of getting people, hooked on the product, so to speak.
Yeah, you're right about that. Next up, let's go to our East of the Rockies line. Your turn. You're on with David Wolf. Hi there.
Hey, George. Hey, David. How you doing?
Excellent. How you doing?
Thank you. Good. This is Mike from Columbus, Ohio, calling on 610 WTBN.
Yes. Thanks, Mike.
Question was to Dave about something called the Master Cleanser. Have you ever heard of it, and what are your views about it?
Yes, yeah, Stanley Burroughs Master Cleanser, maple syrup, cayenne,
yeah.
Lemon.
And
water.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's an incredible cleanse. And let me just tell you what we found out about that cleanse over the years, because a lot of people have done it. You're probably, if you can get good stuff, I'm really a bigger fan of honey than maple syrup. The reason why I recommend honey on this cleanse type of program, and what this cleanse is, by the way, for the listeners out there, is it's drinking water with cayenne pepper in it, with lemon in it, with maple syrup in it.
Great
for
idea,
a fast of a day, 5 days, a week, 3 weeks. There's a couple problems with it. One is that maple syrup can be corrosive to the teeth because it's not really enzymatic, and it's also, you know, it's a sugar, whereas honey is the highest enzyme content food in the world as long as it's eaten raw, natural. So you might want to use honey instead. Another thing that you can consider, add a little bit of Celtic sea salt or a little bit of rock salt to the fluid, because that way it balances it a little bit better. And another thing I'd recommend is having some green vegetable juice, like we were talking about before, celery juice in the evening, and do the Master Cleanse all day. One of the things we find out with people doing these kind of cleanses is that they start running low on the green minerals, calcium, magnesium, iron. These are things found in green leafy vegetables, and you can get them from green vegetable juices, and it balances things off so you don't lose too many minerals when you're cleansing, because you can lose minerals cleansing. The minerals detoxify you. They escort the toxins out.
What do you think of changing or balancing your pH level?
It's really important to balance your pH level. What it really comes down to for most people, what that means in a way that's usable and useful for people, is eating more vegetables, raw vegetables, or even better, vegetable juices. And I've been mentioning this a lot, you know, the power of fresh vegetable juice. It really is really nothing like it. If you can't do it at home, or, you know, you're too lazy or whatever, call your health food store and say, hey, you make it for me. You know, when I travel the country in our grease bus, we call every health food store and say, hey, make us 10 juices, we'll pick it up, and they do it.
What do you think of this powdered plant food that includes some of this?
I think, like, these powdered, quote-unquote, superfood products, you know, things that have powdered spirulina, powdered vegetables in it, powdered grasses.
Right, right.
Are very helpful and very supportive because they supply a lot of nutrients and minerals in a pretty close to natural state. And that way people don't get out of balance. I mean, I've seen this so much. You know, people get on a Master Cleanser, for example, and they do it for 2 weeks. They feel great. But what happens is the cleansing of that starts to deplete them on their alkaline minerals. Again, these are the green minerals, calcium, magnesium, iron. Those are the three big ones. And you can get some of those in these green powdered foods, and it's very important, especially good for kids.
I have heard that you can get some of that, just dump it into like a small liter of water and just drink it that way. Is that all right?
Yeah, that's perfect. That's a good way to go, actually. I think people would be better off doing that.
Next up, first-time caller line. Where are you calling from? Hi there.
Hi, George. Hi, David. Good morning. Yeah, I'm calling from Calgary, Alberta.
Right on.
Well, welcome to the show. Go ahead.
Yeah, and yeah, it's quite an interesting program you have this evening on diet, because I'm a MS, or a person with multiple sclerosis. And, you know, I changed my diet back on April 1st of 04, and, you know, like I do the juicing program, and, you know, I take two juices twice a day, and I, you know, so I saw this naturopath that got me on this diet, and you know, she had me on a diet where I have non-mammal made products, and now I've pretty much overcome this disease, and I don't think I'll have a problem with this disease. And put me back to work as of May 10th, you know, just a little under a year ago of 2004.
Well, what do you think of that, David? This is a miracle.
This is, I hear it all the time. I mean, if people only knew, George. I mean, one time I did this seminar in Richmond, Virginia. There was five women there who'd lost over 100 pounds each, a couple women who'd lost close to 200 pounds. This is one seminar. I see this all the time. Easily, not without eating whatever they want, eating abundantly, eating food that tastes good. That is like, it's a relief to be able to eat what you want, when you want, without guilt. One of the things that we're seeing with MS is, what is MS? MS is caused by chemical solvents in the food supply and in our atmosphere and in our environment that starts corroding the nerve tissue, that the very sensitive and delicate nerve tissue that surrounds our you know, it's our myelin sheathing that protects our nervous system, which is our nervous system is the temple of our whole consciousness. And so we're seeing a chemical attack on the core of our being, right? On the temple of our consciousness.
Yeah. And since I've changed my diet, I've I definitely have developed. You know, I'm definitely more vibrant, and you know, I look about 5 years younger than my age. I'm 38 now, and you know, people say I look like I'm 32, and you know, just a little over a year ago, I was a 37-year-old who looked like he was 45.
You chopped 10 years off you. Good for you.
So the thing is, if you keep on a good diet, you know, it's gonna make you do better. And you know, for example, the juicing program, you know, I get up, I have 5 leaves of romaine lettuce, 3 stalks of celery, 2 carrots, and 2 green apples, and I throw those in a juice, and then I have another juice at night before I go to bed. I just take out the carrots and replace it with a half a lemon. And I also, you know, stay away from processed foods like such as white flour, you know, such as white bread. So I use like the multigrain bread. And also, you know, I heard you mention something there about oatmeal. Oatmeal is very good. And
I might have to try oatmeal as a breakfast all the time. What do you think of that?
Yeah, with berries, that's a really good way to go.
And then I'll have my my beans and my honey for lunch.
Right on, the cacao. Yeah. Okay.
And then what's my dinner?
It's going to be a salad. Why a salad? Because, you know, now what you want to do is you want to have a salad with whatever you would normally have. Let's say you're going to have a salad and what, baked potato, something simple, you know, whatever. You could do a raw food. You could have a salad and avocado. Why you want to do that is because in the end of the day, you need something to calm your system down, and vegetables are calming. This is a problem we see. People come home and they're all wound up from their day at work, and they come home and they're eating food that's jacking them up even higher, food that's like caffeine food or food that has stimulants in it, and it causes a lot of problems, a lot of friction in the family, and vegetables solve that problem. So, you know, we're coming back to this green food thing, green powdered food, vegetables, huge, massively important part of diet.
How long would I have to stay on this? For the rest of my life?
Well, it's got to come from a place of, like, joy, like sensuous joy, in the sense that, hey, this is fun, it's exciting. I mean, think about our picture of paradise, George. Our picture of paradise is not sitting on a beach with a cow trying to, like, bite its ear off. It's, you know what I mean? It's like sitting on a beach with a coconut and a mango. So it's so good. It's so fun. It tastes good. And it's sensuous. So it's the whole experience, the whole eating experience becomes much more pleasurable. So that's what motivates you. You know, people can't do it by willpower alone. That's impossible.
Can I still have my turkey sandwich once in a while?
You know, if that's what you fancy, that's cool.
You're going to let me do that? as my dietitian?
I'm going to be like the guy under the table is going to grab the sandwich right before you put it in your mouth.
Yeah, and slip in an avocado or something
like that. Exactly. You know, that's a thing you can do. You can have your sandwich with avocado and sprouts and onion and cucumber, all this kind of stuff in there. You just stack it all in there. And it's so much food, you won't even miss the other stuff.
Before the clock gets us, the books, where do you get them?
Amazon.com, rawfood.com.
And you've got Eating for Beauty, right? Naked Chocolate, is that out yet?
Naked Chocolate just came out last week. It's a book I've been working on for 2 years, and it's just hitting the market. It's not even on Amazon, I don't think, yet. So rawfood.com is the only place that has it.
All right, and your website, David Wolfe, and that's W-O-L-F-E, as opposed to avocado, whatever your name was, right?
Right, you got it.
Thanks, David. Appreciate the night.
Thanks, George. Have the best night ever.
Yep. A little different coast-to-coast flavor for you every once in a while. We're going to talk about you and your health and what's important, because if you're not around, I lose a listener. So that's why we do this. I'm going to be back in Los Angeles for the next couple days, so I'll be on my little whirlwind tour, leaving the cave in St. Louis. But then I'll be back for just a few weeks, going to the son's graduation. Something I got to do, but I don't want to miss any shows. So that's why I'm holed up in the cave. For Steve Carr, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Harry Shelley, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Jean-Laure Desour, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, I'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.